my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea, you can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Good evening, my friends. Made it in again. Yep, this is The Tinker, and you're listening to The Tinker Shop on Just Measures Radio. Well, sorry about the small delay there, but we were having a little bit of a Winamp problem to start with there tonight again. I don't know, this seems to be turning into a regular thing. So, let's see here. I suppose I should start off and say, for those who aren't reading the calendar, today is the 18th of January, 2014, and tonight we're going to be talking about potato planters. At long last, I've finally gotten everything together for that. So what we'll need to do, as soon as I can find my place here again, there we go, we'll need to go out to the website or the tutorial spot out at www.arlinn-tower.com. I'm putting that in the chat room. And once we get to that page, we'll have to go ahead and scroll down, and we'll see a link here that says Potato Planter Show and Tutorial. I'll give everybody a couple seconds here to get to the place. And yes, I know I've been promising to do this for quite some time. And, well, the eyes had not cooperated for a while here for being able to draw or do anything like that sort. So I finally said this week, that's it. I'm going to go ahead and build a new one. Right from scratch. So now we actually got photos of an actual one in construction. So hopefully everybody's here on the web page now. And you'll see here that I've got a top portion here that's marked an old and a new. The first object you'll see there, that's actually an old style potato planter. That was dates probably from probably somewhere between, I can safely say it's after 1900 and before 1920. My guess is probably it's the late teens. And this is actually one that I inherited from my grandfather. And so far as I know, he might have even gotten that from his father. And what this is overall, that thing is about 32 inches high. You know, basically about waist high on a tall man, or maybe it's a little bit shorter than that. And the way these things work is, you know, obviously I have it straight up and down, but in actual use you'd have some lean to it. But the way those work is they're actually stuck into the turned soil, and you know, once it's pushed into the soil, you can drop a potato set, which is basically, you know, cut potatoes with the eyes in. You drop one down there, and on this image, if that would be shoved into the dirt, that little leg or foot that's sticking out to the side, that would push up slightly as you shove it in the dirt, and you just would rotate it from our view here counterclockwise, and that'll open up like a clamshell jaw at the bottom, and drop the potato in, and then you just literally rotate the whole thing, and it would allow the dirt to fall back into the hole. And at that point, what you'd do would be to take you know, a step or two to the side. You know, some people say 16 inches between hills. Other people say, you know, close to 3 foot. It all depends, you know, how much extra space you've got for planting in. And this particular planter, I've actually used this now probably, I would say for the last 6 or 8 years every year. And before that, I used it, you know, intermittently. Of course, back then, I still was able to crawl along the ground, dig a little hole, and put the stuff in and pat it down by hand. This allows you to stay on your feet and just literally move right along the rows. And so it makes it, it makes potato planting a little easier for those of us who are starting to get a bit older. Because when we start getting old, you know, the knees start going, the back starts going, so it's rough trying to stand up, you know, and move over, get down, dig a hole, and the whole bit. So that's where a potato planter comes in really handy. Let's see. Let's go ahead and scroll down here to the next shot here. This is actually a picture of the handle that was on the old potato planter. And if you'll notice here, it's actually over the barrel or the shaft of the potato planter. And it's, you know, just keep that in mind, because later on when we get further down, you'll see a variation on this, which is what I've done. And then again, if we go down just a little bit further, this is a little bit more of a close-up of the clamshell assembly or section on the bottom of the potato planter. This particular one has two extra features on, which I really didn't mention. On the left-hand side of the body or the shaft of the potato planter, you'll see like kind of a little bow shape. Well, that's a spring, it's two pieces of a flat steel, which has been treated to act like a spring steel, and that helps push the long foot back down after you pull it up out of the ground. It readies it to plant in the next hole. If you look on the right-hand side, there's this little thing that's, you know, sticking out, you know, little blob sticking out. That's actually at right angles to the other stuff. And that's a little foot that can be used also to help, you know, coax the point into the ground if it's pretty hard. I'm a big believer in prepping the soil first. You know, even if you've had a garden in the same place for, you know, 20 years and you've turned it before you plant potatoes in the spring, it doesn't hurt to get out there and turn the soil and loosen it, because it makes life easier and they grow better. So we'll go ahead and just leave those things be for now, and we'll move on down here a little bit further. This next object, as you can see, it's rather reminiscent, I guess, of post-hole digger is what it looks like. But this is actually a British potato planter. And these are actually being made now. And it's kind of a halfway step between, like, the old-style potato planter, like I referenced up above here, and, you know, something new. Yeah, that's probably about 4.5 feet long. You know, basically it's a stand-up thing. And the way that works is a person would open the two handles as far open as they go. And like if you look down at the next photo here, you can see where the person is stepping the clamshell into the ground. That's, you know, again, the other one is just basically you slam it down, you punch it into the ground. This one here, you step it in. As you can see, his soil appears to be pretty solid, like it hasn't really been gardened an awful lot. So maybe this would work for that. I'm not sure. And if you go down one more notch here, the second pitcher in that series. It's where he's brought the handles back together, and what happens at that point is it pushes the soil out into the sides, and then at that point you'd be able to drop a potato set in. Actually, what he's got there, it almost looks like he's got whole potatoes there that haven't even been cut. So that would be, in my book, pretty darn wasteful. You only need, one or two good eyes on a potato set, and so your seed potatoes will go a heck of a lot further. And also, if we move down just one more box here, I had put a note in here that about doing a Google search on potato planters or things of this sort. You can find a lot of photos and pictures of old time tools of this sort. And there's a link in here which is actually a link to eBay, which is actually, that'll do a current search of any of the potato planters that people have for sale. And some of these antique ones, they're asking pretty big bucks for them. It's almost unbelievable what the prices they're getting for some of them. And unfortunately, a lot of times people are buying these just so they can, clean them up and, run screws through them, hang them on, put them on a board and hang it off of a wall. To me, that's one of the, a really big crime against history. I'll just put it that way. So, okay, well, next. I guess we should probably get going because I'm not sure if I'm even going to be able to finish all this tonight. Even if I go straight through, I probably wouldn't be able to finish it all, but but we'll see. So this next section here, I've just got headlined, My Home-Built Spud Planter. And what we have here in that first picture, it's probably kind of hard to see, but this is the one that I actually built this week. So it's, they're not that, they're really not that bad to do. It can be done. And, well, what I'm going to do here, too, obviously it's not in here tonight, but I'm going to go ahead and rework this web page so people will be able to click on the different photos and actually get an expanded view of it. And I'm also going to be going ahead and putting together a PDF file, which I will link in here in probably, hopefully, this next week. Depends on how my eyes do. I kind of hate to admit it, but I've been kind of pushing it the last 2 days, and so I'm feeling it. They're a little bit shaky, but they're good enough to do this tonight. So, anyway, back to the subject at hand. With this potato planter here, there's actually three main sections to a potato planter. Obviously, you've got, like in this photo, way over at the left side of it, you can see the handle on there, which is kind of a D-handle type of thing. In the center section, which is pretty much white with a brown thing next to it, that's the main body, the support rib and the basically the barrel of this device. And then over at the right-hand side, the silver portion, that's the clamshell assembly. And actually, of the three, the clamshell assembly is probably the hardest thing to do of it all. It's not real bad, but they can be pesky. I'll give you a few hints when we get to that point, when we get down further on the page. So, what we'll need to do here then, is if we go down here a little bit more, you're going to see what looks like four pieces of metal, photographed twice. It's actually a top view and a side view of these pieces. The two pieces on the left-hand side are what the handle for the potato planter, what it's made of. All right, so if you look at the right-hand photo, you'll see that they're both bent. And again, once I get some larger photos in here, and also in the PDF file, I'm actually going to put a template in there so people could actually be able to duplicate the bends on this. On the right-hand side and the bottom of both these photos, these are two other pieces of metal that are going to have to get bent up. By the way, should mention, I know I have it in the notes here, but I'll go ahead and give it vocally as well. The two handle pieces, they're made out of 1/8 inch thick by 3/4 inch wide sheet stock. You know, I picked this up at Fleet Farm this week. You know, it was, I don't, Tinkerbell might remember how much they were because she was with me, but, okay, she said the thicker one was about $3, the thinner one was about $2. And those were both about 3-foot sections. So, like I said, it was the handle is made out of 1/8 inch by 3/4 inch by, you know, 3-foot long piece of bar stock. The other two, they're made out of 1 inch wide by 1/4 inch thick. And, again, about 3-foot long bar stock. And what we have here, like I said, the first two are for the handle. The one on the right side is just kind of like kind of a gentle V or whatever, slightly bent bar. That's going to be our connector that goes between the body of the potato planter and the clamshell. The what looks sort of like an L shape here laying on its side, that's our Bigfoot. I guess you could call it our lever that operates the, you know, the clamshell. So let's do this. Let's go down here just a touch more. And next picture here. This is where I'd actually taken and bent up my pieces of metal, like I said. And they're bent to fit the, I guess you could call it the rib or the spine of the body. I used a piece of 7/8 inch squared up wood that I had kicking around here. You could actually use anything from 3/4 inch up to 1 inch square. Like I said, that's what I had, so that's what I used. And the way I bent these up is I actually took a small section of that, of the squared up wood, and I had the two pieces of long metal. They were 9 inches long to start with, and I put drilled holes in there on one end of both of them. I drilled a 3/16 hole through, and that's what gave me the spot to put my wooden handle on. On the other end, I drilled 2 1/4 inch holes, and they were spaced apart about 1 inch. And this is going to end up being our handle, like I said. And what we basically have here is just kind of an exploded view of how the pieces relate to each other. Now if we scoot down here just a little bit more, the next line here is basically, you know, two views, you know, opposite sides of the handle when it's in place. And it's pretty, you know, pretty much self-explanatory. They just go together, you know, clamped on the shaft or on the spine. And the handle is screwed in with some simple wood screws through the little holes on the end. You know, like I said, pretty straightforward. Okay, now let's go down here just a little bit more and check the time. Okay, we got 22 after, so we got about 10 minutes here before I should do a station break. In this next photo, you'll see a chunk of PVC pipe, and again, like I said, the 7/8 inch square piece of wood that I used for the spine. The reason I went with this PVC pipe was I originally had been looking for 2.5-inch thin roll PVC. Unfortunately, none of the places handy in my area had any, so I ended up going with 2-inch inside diameter PVC pipe. It's the standard stuff that you find used for running a drain. And what I got was a 24-inch piece of it, and I also got a coupling that's used to join pieces of the PVC pipe together. With the two of those being put together, basically what that gave me was like a little funnel-type shape at the top without any sharp edges on it, because you really don't want to cut yourself up if you're out in the garden, you know, working in dirt. It's a bad idea. So anyhow, what you ended up with this is you end up with about, let's see, what would it be? About a 25.5-inch long piece of white pipe once you get that put together. The other piece, like I said, that square stock, 7/8 of an inch square, and that was 27 inches long. Like I said, and the two of these, they're going to go ahead, we're going to put these together, and they're going to make the, basically the body. It's the spine and the barrel for the planter. Now, next picture down here is the two ends of the spine. And basically, on these two photos, this is opposite ends of the stick after it's been drilled. And see here, gotta make my eyes work here. So, okay, on the left-hand picture, you can see three holes in there. Those are spaced 1 inch apart. And like I mentioned with the handle, we had drilled the holes 1 inch apart on those. So this actually will give you, you know, a couple 3 inches worth of play for, you know, adjusting it to fit your height if you choose to build one of these. Below that, you'll see, below those three holes going in one side of the square, you'll see another one going crosswise. Now this is where the top of the barrel will bolt up to when we get to that point. And if you go over here to the right-hand picture, you'll see another couple holes. And so you got three holes going one way through this piece of wood, and you got three holes going through at 90 degrees to those other, to the first three. Okay, so now these the distances for these holes on the left-hand side, that was, okay, I know I have it on here someplace. Okay, well, we'll measure from the other end. If you go from the other end, the first two holes, like I said, they're spaced 1 inch apart, and they are, let's see here, okay, yeah, trying to spot them. I think I may have missed getting them in here, but they're, it's roughly about 2.5 inches up is the first hole from the very bottom, and then the next set or next pair is 1 inch over. So, and then let's see, I have in the note here from the very bottom up to that other hole, it's by itself, it's 23 and three quarters of an inch. You know, it's been, like I said, it's been a long couple of days here, and the eyes and the memory are kind of toast. So next step, you know, once you have the stick drilled, then you'll want to take and drill out the PVC pipe so the holes will match up, basically. So once you get the spine made, you know, drill one hole through at your distance, like I'd mentioned. and then you can actually use the spine as a guide to put the other two holes in. You basically just have to hold it good and steady and just, you know, drill through the holes that are lined up. Okay, so let's move down here a little bit more. And this is where, remember that other part that I talked about before? We had the, you know, the gentle V-shaped piece of metal. This is where that gets used at. And again, like I said, this is a piece of the 1 inch wide by 1/4 inch thick strap stock, and that's 8 inches long to start with. Now these holes, again, 1/4 inch, I went ahead and standardized in 1/4 inch for these, so that way then it's not a lot of different sizes to remember to find. You know, 1/4-20 bolt, yeah, you can get them virtually anywhere at any hardware store. And I actually used what are called carriage bolts, which are a round-headed bolt, because if on the inside of this pipe, you don't want to have any sharp corners on there, because if you have a potato set dropping down through there, if you'd have a regular bolt, that would have a tendency of having a sharp point on it, which could actually cut the potato set or hook off the eye if it's starting to sprout already. You want to make it as efficient as possible so the potatoes don't get cut and start rotting, or you don't want to have the eyes lost on it. So let's see here. You know, going ahead, a little bit more of a description on this metal piece. If you look at it from the side here, you can see that, you know, like I said, they're 1-inch spacings. And if you go from the... On the right-hand side of that, the hole is... The first hole is 1 inch over from the end. And I did make a typo. Or maybe not. No, I didn't make a typo. It's 1 inch from there, and then the distance between the two holes is 2 inches. So you have the first hole there, inch in. The second hole is 3 inches from the end, or 2 inches over from the other one. If you look at the left-hand side of this, again, you'll want to have two small holes in there. And these distances are kind of critical. You know, because it's what we're putting together here is basically the bottom of the body where the clamshell will go on to. So let's see here. So with this here on the left-hand side of this, you're going to go in 3/4 inch from the end. That'll get a 1/4 inch hole drilled in, and then if you go over 1 inch from there, it gets the other hole. So what happens at this point, you'll want to be putting the barrel and the spine together, and you're going to be sandwiching things here. So you're going to have, you'll be running a bolt through from up at the top through that single hole by itself, and at the same time, you'll be doing a sandwich here with the metal bar being sandwiched in between the wooden and the PVC section. The bolts will come through and you just basically tighten it all down. And again, this here is the next couple blocks basically show how the top end is fastened together. And let's see here. Oh my. We are right at 10:30 or 9:30 here, so it'll be almost time to take a break. So what we'll do here is I'll just go ahead and let you know that if you look at this picture, the last one in this series, we basically have the whole body assembled now. You've got the PVC pipe clamped with a bolt at the top end. Down at the bottom end, lower right, you have that slightly bent piece of bar stock held in between the wood and the PVC pipe. So I think at this point, what I should probably do, since I'm kind of needing to get up and move around just a touch, let me do this. I'm gonna just throw a couple of old commercials in here, just enough to give me a chance to move up and around a little bit. So enjoy these. Me and my history and business. Here goes.
Every day, and that is high cost of living. Sound familiar? I'll bet it does. I'm sure you've heard Mother and Dad mention it more often than once, and you will undoubtedly hear it many more times as the days go by. Now, just in case you're hazy on exactly what it means, let me give you a rough idea. It means that the cost of your clothes and food has gone up to a point where the family budget has become somewhat strained. Well, that's one of those things, and you can't be expected to increase the family income. But there are some things you can do to help. For instance, take better care of your clothes. When you come home from school, change into old clothes before you go out to play. Take care of your health, because doctors and medicines are expensive. Eat well, but don't waste. Take your full share, but eat all you take. Try not to ask Mother and Dad to buy you things you don't actually need. Make the best and the most of what you've got. Try to be more than usually careful of your school equipment, such as paper, pencils, and so forth. Make them last and go as far as you possibly can. Remember that all members of a family must pull together at a time like this. So do your share.
Pepsi Cola, it's a spot. 12 ounces, that's a lot. Twice as much for a nickel, too. Pepsi Cola is a drink for you. Nickel, 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 nickel.
Let's go ahead and move on. I've kind of basically walked you through the construction of the handles for a potato planter and constructing the main body of it. Now we're going to get down here into this next section, and you know, there's a lot of photos here. They're not real bad. I pretty well got everything covered on here, but I'm going to have a lot of in-between comments or talking here. And again, the actual templates for these parts will be in the PDF file I put up. So let's see here. First thing, you know, making the clamshell assembly. I used some heavy gauge sheet metal that I had around here. I'd actually tried checking at the local Fleet Farm, the local Ace, and a couple other places, and none of them had the proper gauge of plain weldable steel. What I was looking for was either 18 or 20 gauge, and unfortunately it's rather difficult to find these days. In these stores, but a lot of the places do have galvanized metal. And again, part of the reason I went ahead and did this the way I did was actually using things they either had here or was easily procurable. So this way you're not getting instructions on how to build something that uses some sort of exotic material, you know, some very specific one. This is, you know, basic, generally available materials. And like I said, this is about an 18-gauge galvanized metal. It's pretty stiff, but it's still cuttable with a tin snips. And what we have here, if you kind of, you have to kind of squint and look at this a little bit, but this piece of galvanized metal I used, the ears are what's going to become the wings on the shoe. They're about 2 inches wide here, and that center part is just over 3 inches. So altogether you have just over 7 inches wide. From the bottom to the top, that was about 8.5 inches. Again, this is just off of memory right now. I neglected to get the numbers in here. But with this here, what you have is basically your side that comes down, and the way it works is if you would take, you know, your template and draw an imaginary line down from the bottom of the V at the top, if you take it straight down the same width on both sides, that'll give you basically a rectangular section just over 3 inches wide, and about six inches long, or you know, give or take a little bit. Over to the both sides, you'll see that the wing or the triangular portion that gets cut off, it's a little bit below the top edge here, and about for the height. So what you end up with is basically kind of a big V-shaped or a shield-shaped type of thing. Now, here's another possibility. Again, like I said, this is stuff that I said, you know, details or variations that can be done. What I had actually done was I had gotten in and cut the whole shape out with the tin snips. And again, sometimes get a little bit touchy trying to get in on the edges with these things. Here's a possibility for you, you know, if you do decide to build one of these. Instead of cutting that kind of V-shaped notch at the top, what can be done is you could actually take and cut the diagonal down from each side, and then just go a little bit in and make basically a small triangle cutout. That'll leave you like another tab at the top. That could actually be folded down and in. That'll also help strengthen your sheet metal. Because if you can't get like an 18 gauge sheet metal and cut it and form it, you might be able to get a 20 gauge. So it's, you know, like I said, it's an alternative. You know, speaking of alternative methods of doing things. But anyhow, once you get your form there, like is shown to the on the right hand photo, you'll have to make two of these. And these are going to be basically your templates or your blanks for making what I call the shoes. And if we go down to the next row of photos here, you'll see where I got both shoes bent up. And basically it's like a wedge shaped box. And what you'll need to do is you can either, if you have access to a bench break, it makes it real easy to, you know, bend the wings up. You just bend them up parallel, parallel box form. That's one way of doing it. If you don't have a bench break, you can take a couple pieces of angle iron or even a couple pieces of flat iron stock. You line them up along the edge where you want to have your bend at. You clamp them like a C-clamp or a couple vice grips. You can bend them over and hammer it down with a hammer. That's like I said, that's another method to do it. Third way, again, if you have access to a vise, a good wide one, you can clamp the sheet metal between two chunks of wood and go from the top, you know, running it down into the vise sideways. You clamp it between two pieces of wood or between a couple of pieces of metal. You crank your vise tight to hold it, and again, you can hammer it down to get your right angle bend. And basically what you have to do is, you know, whatever method you use, you have to do it four times so you can get the two shoes like this. And what you want to do is you'll want to make one shoe just slightly, just a hair larger than the other. And so if you go over to the picture to the side of that, you'll see where I have the two of those that I had made up. I nested them together. You just basically started pushing them together down at the bottom. And one way of doing this, you know, if it's a little too tight, the outside one, you can spring the sides out a little bit. The inside one, you squeeze them down. Of course, you're going to end up, if you get them too tight, then it's not going to want to open and close properly for you, so you got to be careful when you're doing these. Okay, so next, we'll come down here a little bit more. This actually is this pair of shots here that we have. Okay, how best to explain it? I did it the hard way on this. I have to admit it. I guess rather than doing everything ahead of time, and again, once I get the template made up, you'll be able to do a lot of these steps easier. It's just like with this part up above. What I did when I made the shoes, I used my bench brake and bent them up, and unfortunately, I thought I knew better. So I'm passing along a word of experience here. I bent both of those shoes exactly to the same size. And so I ended up having to take one apart and flatten it out and move the line over. So even, yeah, I make mistakes on these projects when I'm winging them like this. And for once this last week, my eyes worked and I got the measurements exactly the same. And I've been figuring, well, I'm going to be slightly off, so one will fit inside the other easily. So. But what we'll do is when I make up the template piece, I also will pile it in or mark on there where you can pile it in the holes that we're going to be drilling in here in this next shot. Because if you look close at this, you're going to see both of these shoes have a hole drilled in up there in the corner of the wing. And where that's at, I came down 3/4 of an inch and in 3/4 of an inch from the straight edges on the template. And if you look over to the right, you'll see where they're, again, where the holes are at. And you're also going to see a little bit of a line there on the one. That's the shoe that's on the inside. I figured when I put it together, I could mark it, and that's how I did it. And later on, once we get a little bit further down here, I'll show you where you can actually trim these points off, so you don't have sharp edges. Okay, next step down. Again, this is for both the shoes. And if you... Again, this is going to be on the template itself. Unfortunately, I didn't have the template, drawn up properly to upload, so I had to do it on the pieces themselves. But if you look, it's kind of like a straight line right down the middle of this shoe. And then I've got a couple cross lines there. Okay, the one is 1 inch down from the top edge. Remember where I said you could bend the edge over and crimp it tight for strength? That's that edge. So you come down 1 inch from that, a 3/16 hole drilled through here. This is what I used I used a 1/4 inch here, that's right. But you drill a 1/4 inch hole there, and then 2 inches over, you do another 1/4 inch hole. Now this goes back, this is where that bent mounting bar that we attached to the main body. That's where this, it'll mount up to this point. Also, once you get through drilling the one shoe like this, you flip it over and do the same thing on the other one. So now, here we go. Now that we got all of our holes drilled in here, we can go ahead and start fastening the two together. What I did here at this point, when I put this together, I actually used a couple 1/8 inch bolts, and it just simply for ease in making this so I could put it together, take it apart, and, for demonstration purposes. Now that that's all done, what I'm going to do is I'll be going ahead and getting a couple 3/16 inch bolts. Because remember, back up further, I talked about using a 3/16. This is one of the locations where we used it. So this here is basically to do a function check on how well it works. And also, I basically went ahead, like I said, at this point, it's also, we can, basically do the function check. You put the bolts through, they act as an axle for it, and it's showing it where it's, obviously, where it's closed to the right, it's where it's open. And so at this point, you can actually go ahead and trim off the sharp points there. You can round them up, so that way, again, so nobody gets pinched by the sharp corners. And so next step, now that we've got, our clamshell made, at this point, we can go ahead and put on our Bigfoot. Now, remember I mentioned the Bigfoot earlier up? That's another piece of the 1-inch wide by 1/4-inch thick bar stock. And what I did was I took a 16-inch long piece of that on one end, about an inch in. I took and drilled a 3/16 hole through the bar, and then went to the other end. And again, this is where, the measurements, remember, we've been kind of using a standard spacing, either 1-inch or 2-inch spacing in between things. This is where it comes into play. Like I said, we have the both sides of the shoes. They're 1 inch down from the top of it. There's a 1/4-inch hole, and then 2 inches below that, there is a 1/4-inch hole. Well, we do the same thing on the foot. And so if you take the long end of the bar, you come in 1 inch, drill a hole, 1/4-inch diameter. You come in 2 inches, drill another one. And when you do that, those holes will match up with the holes in the shoe. At the 4-inch point on that bar, again, we're going to have to use a vise. This one here, you're going to need a vise for, or some pretty steady hands, because we want to make a bend, a little bit better than a 90-degree angle, so it's tighter. That's at the 4-inch point. You bring it out, and when you get at about the far end, back where you have the one hole by itself, again, you come back maybe 3 inches from the hole, just give it a little bit of a tweak. It doesn't need to be a whole lot. And this, again, that right angle, or better than right angle in the little tweak, that'll be each individual, it'll be unique to each and every one of them, because you're doing this by hand. And if you don't want to plant stuff quite as deep, or if your soil's pretty loose, then you'll want to have a little bit more of a bend, so it's less than a 90, so it's tighter, because your planter's going to want it to sink into the ground further, and you want that foot to be there. So at this point, once you have the big foot added on to the one side, we can go ahead down here just a little bit further. So remember, we've had the main body assembled before this with the gentle V bar in there. So what we're going to do is we're going to mount up the clamshell at this point. And that bar needs to go on the inside of the clamshell. So if you look closer, you can see where I have it just kind of poking into there. So what you'll do is you'll slide it all the way in. And this is, you really couldn't take too many pictures of this part, so I have to describe it, because you're working basically inside the clamshell with your fingers. What you'll want to do is take 2 1/4-inch bolts, or no, 2 3/16 bolts, or you could use 1/4 if you so choose. It's however big you decide to make the holes. But you take a round-headed bolt or a round-headed screw, you push it through that bar first on the inside, and then it comes out through the shoe. And then you get your self-locking nuts and you turn them on. Also, at this point, if you really want to, you can actually use rivets. You know, if you feel like doing the hammering and pounding the rivets in, I love it. Love it when somebody else does it the hard way, just like me, because that's what's going to happen with this. This is going to be riveted. Once I get a little bit better seeing here, I'll be able to get in there and do some real hot rivets to pound them into place. So if you look down here to the next picture, you know, you got to kind of squint at it. I know I probably should have blown these up a little bit more. But if you look at this here, you'll see our sandwich. It's basically all put together. On the right-hand side, you'll see, you know, the wooden spine, that piece of metal that we bent. You'll see the plastic pipe, and all held by two nuts down there. It's two bolts that protruded through. If you look over to the left on that little bit, you can see where the screws have come through. Again, for ease in demonstrating how to take it apart and put it together, I just use regular nuts. These should actually be self-locking nuts if you're going to use nuts. And, you know, the clamshell is closed there. And you can see, almost pointing straight up, that's where the foot is at. Scroll down here a little bit more. And this is, you know, a little bit more of a distance shot. And it's with the clamshell open. And the foot, you know, sticking out to the side. What I used here, let's see, I'm trying to think what it was. It was a metal Tostitos jar lid. One of my boys loves the pre-processed cheese foods, so, you know, I don't care for it, but the lid came in handy. And that actually gives you kind of a cupped end on the big foot. So that's screwed together there. And, well, I'm running down on time here, so I better talk quick here for this. Up further, I had a couple of the pictures that were showing how the handle bolted together. And this next one here is basically, again, showing how the handle is bolted up onto the spine of the shaft there. And I've got it set as far down as it'll go right now. You could actually go up, you know, another notch, which is another inch plus in height. And so, you know, once you get your handle mounted, like I said, you know, it's screwed together at the handle and, you know, clamped together with that. If we go down here just a touch more, here we go. This is, I think I used one of these pictures up near the beginning, but this is the front side and the flip side, or the back side, of the completed potato planter. And the way, let's see, I'm going to go ahead here. Yep, I got just enough time here. I can just go ahead and kind of give you a quick description of this. Obviously, this is, you know, laying sideways. But, you know, mentally, I believe that all of you who are listening and who have managed to stand listening to me this long will be able to do this. If you picture that standing upright, you'll be able to see mentally that clamshell is directly below the PVC pipe. So it's just basically like an arrow shape or whatever. And the way this works is you take, if you'd be using it, you take and you just stick that down in the ground into your loosened soil. And if you need to, you can always step on the big foot here next to it just to shove it in slightly. Once your clamshell is shoved into the soil, at that point, you can take and drop a potato set down the tube. And once it's dropped down the tube, you can just take and rotate that. You know, like I said, whether you're, the way this is set up, it's for a right-handed person, which is what I am. If a person is left-handed, they can reverse the handle 180 degrees and use it the other way. But the way this one's set up is you rotate the shaft. Let's see here. Clockwise. If the foot's to your right, you rotate the shaft to the right, which forces the clamshell open, which will start dropping the potato set down into the ground. And with that big foot there, you just kind of raise it up and pivot it off the big foot. Once you've got it up and out of the dirt and the potato's dropped off, you just pick the thing up and the weight of the big foot will close the clamshell. And at that point, you can, you know, knock the dirt shut over the hole, or you can leave it set open as for, you know, marker for spacing. Go ahead and move over your, you know, 16 inches, 2 foot, however far you're going to go, and you repeat the process, and you work your way along through the garden. Generally speaking, I've heard it said that one should do roughly about 2 foot on centers for these, and you leave about 16 inches between rows. Of course, I've heard other people say you got to leave at least 2 foot between rows. Because what you'll want to do is as your potato plants grow up out of the soil, you'll want to hill them up. So I think I'm probably pretty much, well, I'm pretty much done for time tonight here because it's 10 o'clock. So let me do this. I'm just going to go ahead here and I'm just going to go ahead and throw my background music in here, and then I'll go ahead and get the archives restarted. So have a very good evening. Thank you for joining me. And yes, hope to see you next week, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thank you much. God bless, and have a very good weekend.